I'd said I need somebody willing to get up before dawn, milk cows, work all day in the fields, milk cows again, eat supper, then go to town and stay past midnight at a meeting of the school board. So God made a farmer.
My administration will be focused on three very important words. Jobs, jobs, jobs.
Congressman must be a minister, a social worker, a diplomat, a tough guy, and a gentleman. And of course he'll have to be a genius, because he'll have to feed a family on a policeman's salary.
From this day forward, it's going to be only America first. America first. We, the citizens of America, are now joined in a great national effort to rebuild our country and restore its promise for all of our people. Because today, we are not merely transferring power from one administration to another, or from one party to another, but we are transferring power from Washington, D.C., and giving it back to you, the people.
Hold on to your seats. Buckle up for safety. You are now entering another dimension with the Scott Adams Show.
And that's right. My name is Scott Adams. You're listening to the Scott Adams Show live on Red State Talk Radio. It is Tuesday, November 14th, 2017. And I think I came in late to the party today. I was just on Larry Free's show, and I was promoting the show on social media. And I looked up, and it was like, well, normally the show starts at 8:05, right? And I think it was 8:05 and a half. So, sorry about that. If you heard silence, there's nothing worse than on radio than dead air, right? They say that's the worst, and I believe that's true. Dead air, empty mic, all of that's bad news, right? I have to say, I am... We're going to talk about Roy Moore, and this is just such a horrible situation. It's a very horrible situation in a sense that I think that the Democrats are doing a disservice to people who actually were victims. I think that they exploit these things. Whether we don't know, for example, we don't know whether or not we don't know who's lying, right? But we do know that the Democrat Party has abused these types of things in the past. I mean, we've seen it with Donald Trump, where if there was merit to the cases of that were coming out of the woodwork with respect to Donald Trump just prior to the election, then they would still be going on, right? Gloria Elridge would still be pursuing that case, would she not? If she really gave a crap, if she really cared about those victims, wouldn't she do it pro bono? No, come on. It seems like it's the same playbook every single time. Now, I've heard about Roy Moore hanging out at a mall and getting banned. I mean, I heard that some of this stuff is sounding more credible, and it's making you wonder. Well, that's all part of the spin. But yeah, when you hear someone like Judge Napolitano or someone like that talking about it, you wonder. But Judge Napolitano, I respect him. I love him. I think he's great, but he's been wrong on many occasions as well. But the problem here is whether it's legit or whether it's not, it's hard to take the Democrat Party seriously at this point. They're the boy who cried woof. Woof! You know? And you can't turn your... You can't just... You know, or fire, right? I mean, if it's a you cry fire too many times, the fire department's not going to come for you. I mean, the problem is that they're exploiting race. They exploit this gender sexual harassment thing. I mean, all of a sudden, we're talking about Roy Moore when we should be talking about Harvey Weinstein. We should be talking about Hollywood. We should be talking about Kevin Spacey. No, but it's too easy. The liberal media only wants to talk about what they want to talk about, what suits their needs. And right now, it's a Senate seat in the great state of Alabama, of all states, one of the reddest states. And somehow the Democrats think that they could pull this off and close a 10-point gap by breaking this story now, a story that's 39 years old. There's no way to defend it. There's no way. It's a he said, she said thing. And given the timing and given the track record of the Democrat Party and how these things simply disappear after the election is over, and it's as if this never happened before, I just can't take it seriously. I have to err on the side of Roy Moore on this one. Okay? And that's unfortunate. That does not make me someone who doesn't like women, because I just don't feel like I want to fall prey and be a victim of the Democrat political smear campaign. We've seen how much money they would spend with Fusion GPS. 9.6 million? 12 million, I've heard? I've heard all kinds of numbers. The Clinton machine would spend endless amounts of money on they call it OPPO research. I call it smear tactics. Why not just talk about the issues? Let's talk about sanctuary cities. Let's talk about repeal of Obamacare. Let's talk about tax reform and stronger borders and immigration reform. Why can't we talk about it? Because in the great state of Alabama, that wouldn't fly for a Democrat. The Democrats, the only way they get into office is they lie their butts off. And then they get in and they do exactly the opposite. Yeah, right, Obama, when you said, blue states and the red states, we are the United States. And then we found out, you know, he's got a preacher that he actually had baptized his children and said, not God bless America, but God damn America. We hate America, and when it comes to race, we're a nation of cowards. Bunch of BS. They say one thing and they do another. And that's what they're doing in Alabama. Bunch of liberals that want to run that state into the ground. And it shouldn't happen. Nobody should fall victim to this political smear. If there is some merit to this case, that's fine. Go ahead, have the election, and let the winner win, whoever that is, and basically have the election, but then take this to court. Let this get adjudicated. Let this get litigated in court. That's what I say. And let the chips fall where they may. And if he's guilty, he's guilty. He's out. And then a governor appoints another senator. Let's just do it right. But let's not fall victim to this smear, this political smear from the Democrats. We'll be back after the break.
Did you know that the average yearly repair bill for a car 5 years or older is more than $1,200? Having repair coverage for your car just makes sense. But the trick is not to overpay for it. With Toco Warranty, you can get a highly rated vehicle protection plan usually for less than a tank of gas per month. And now, we're offering a zero down payment program. To get a great car vehicle protection plan at a super low price, call Toco Warranty at 1-800-987-1519. That's 1-800-987-1519. Terms and conditions. Conditions apply.
Hey, this is Leonora Cravota from Red State Talk Radio for My Pillow. I used to have trouble sleeping. My Pillow changed all that. I now fall asleep within moments of my head touching my pillow. That's how comfortable My Pillow is with its patented interlocking fill. My Pillow stays cool and does not go flat. Plus, it's machine washable and dryable. My Pillow has a 10-year warranty and a 60-day comfort guarantee. My Pillow is also the official pillow of the National Sleep Foundation, and it's made right here in the USA. My Pillow is now offering Red State Talk Radio listeners a 4-pack special with 2 premium standard or queen pillows and 2 go anywhere pillows. That's 4 pillows for the price of 1. To take advantage of this special offer, call 1-800-961-9194 and ask for promo code REDSTATE. That's 1-800 1-800-961-9194. Promo code Red State. Put sleepless nights behind you with My Pillow, the most comfortable pillow you will ever own.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
Red State Talk Radio is now available as a voice command on your Amazon Echo and Echo Dot by simply saying, Alexa, play Red State Talk Radio.
Red State Talk Radio on TuneIn.
Turn to every single American. Now, we've been hearing all these stories about sanctuary cities that...
You can now find us on the Amazon Echo and Echo Dot, on TuneIn, on iHeartRadio, and we also have the phone apps in the App Store for your particular phone. And just in case we activated your Echo Dot, Alexa, stop.
Hold on to your seats. Buckle up for safety. You are now entering another dimension with the Scott Adams Show.
And we are back. This is the Scott Adams Show. We have a caller on the line. We're going to bring the caller in right now. You're listening to the Scott Adams Show live on Red State Talk Radio. Caller, you're on the air.
Good morning, Mr. Scott.
Good morning.
Who is this? This is Terry from Arkansas.
All right. Hey, Terry. So, what do you want to talk about?
I know what's going on with the media. You know, so in the 60s, the government had a program, one of the three-letter agencies called Project Mockingbird, where they interjected their own agents into the newspaper and mostly the print media, because that was the dominant source of the time, to control the narrative and put out stories to dissect that at the time, I guess you'd say, deep state don't want it put out. And what we're seeing today is a mockingbird media. And that's what they're doing. You see it all over the country. The same story from Kaepernick being selected man of the year to the Roy Moore stories, you know, it's on stations that have, that are nowhere near local to Alabama. Though, I think they're pushing the same stories, and if you follow any of them on Facebook or anything, it's all the same story from it doesn't matter if you're in Memphis, Little Rock, or Los Angeles. I said, it's the mockingbird media. So, you know, I've done shoveling out, trying to control what people think, what people see, and what they know and what they don't know.
Yeah, and, you know, it's a shame. As soon as I see Gloria Allridge, as soon as I see her, I mean, I run for the hills. She is poison on steroids, and I don't know why she's even taken seriously these days. Yeah, I was here listening to that noise, but you know, the thing is that didn't we see this happen during the Trump administration? During the Trump administration, all of these people came out of the woodwork, accused Trump of doing all these horrible things. And then what happened? They all disappeared. And one of the things that Trump did was he said, look, I'm going to sue all you people who made these false allegations. And they stopped because people realized, you know what? We're going to get sued for defamation, and this isn't going to be great for us. This is going to be bad for us. And I think Roy Moore has kind of waged that same threat. Now, I don't know what's legit and what's not legit in terms of all of this, but it's 39 years old, these allegations. I just don't see why, you know, we have to take them seriously 4 weeks before an election.
Timing is everything. Just like they brought out all the stuff on Trump in the last, you know, down 30 days before the election, trying to derail him, which they do it every election cycle. Though I think they pick their golden horse that they expect to win, and then, they utterly tried to destroy the other people. Where, you know, the exception was John McCain. Heck, he didn't even try to win. You know, every time he started to move up in the polls, he had to abandon his campaign and go back to a vote down in the Senate.
Right.
It's the same people, same players. That's why I say, it's a mockingbird media that's getting their talking points from whether, you know, it's done that sick from up above, you know, it's up above their pay grades, don't I say, to shovel it out. Well, do you want to say it's from the DNC, or do you want to say it's from Soros? I don't care, from the CIA or FBI, whoever it might be, though, I'm not sure against them, but there cannot be any doubt that they are being controlled, though, I'm not sure. And part of it's from their ideology that the media tends to hire off of a particular ideology.
Oh, absolutely.
And part of it, though, I say, comes down from their corporate masters, though, I say, to get their talking points for the day that this is what we're going to push. That's why, that's why they're mockingbirds. Well, Stone, they don't have an original thought anymore when it comes to political news.
No, and if you are Republican,
that's my opinion.
And if you are a conservative with a political thought or your own thought, you get threatened with advertising, pulling advertising. I mean, I saw, poor Sean Hannity yesterday spent half of his show trying to straighten out the mess that was created with Spencer Keurig. And we're going to get into that in a little bit. Terry, I want to thank you for calling in today. Thank you so much for calling in.
Thank you.
All right. Take care now. Bye-bye now. That's Terry from Arkansas. I think he was driving. I'm not sure. But he, that's the other one. Sean Hannity, right? Spent half of his show speaking about Keurig coffee, as if we care. But we know what Keurig was about. Keurig's not stupid. They didn't fall victim to media matters, like Sean said that they did. But I remember this. I remember watching Fox and Friends over the summer, and I remember seeing the Rock and Roll Friday music series. And the stage was lit up and Keurig this and Keurig that. They had a huge contract. Fox News. So, it wasn't just Hannity. But you have these people that want to make sure that people can hear me. Let's see. Got a text.
Remember this.
Yep. I think people can hear me. okay. I hope that everybody can hear me clearly. We have a caller that's calling in too, but I want to say this about Sean Hannity. And caller, you're on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning. Hey, can you hear me okay? Can you hear when you were listening to the radio?
Yes, I hear you fine.
Yeah.
You hear me all right?
Yeah, I got a note from Larry Freese that said I was coming in a little low. I think he wants to sabotage my show today. I think that's what he wants to do. Now, Larry would never do that. Larry Freese would never do that.
yeah, I doubt that. But years ago, a book was written called Witness. It was written by a man named Whitaker Chambers, who was a longtime communist, and he's the one who identified Alger Hiss, who is a high-ranking member of the State Department, the one who helped set up. In fact, he was in charge of the group that set up the United Nations, who was also a communist, but who had denied it under oath. And I think Hiss was convicted of perjury, as I remember, and he went to prison. But anyway, Chambers, the guy that identified him, wrote the book. And in that book, he made a very interesting thing. Chambers had been a high-level editor, I think, of Time magazine, and I think maybe the New York Times. I forget exactly. I think
okay.
New York Times, but anyway, to make a long story short, in this book, Chambers said that as a high-level editor, he had on many times met with people in the business, all right? And he said many of those people were communists from cells that he had known in the past, and that there had been a big effort to push the proletarian revolution. That is Soviet-style socialism. And they had penetrated our media. And they had made a conscious effort to do so. And why do we think that? I think even Walter Cronkite, as I remember, said that he was a socialist. And Cronkite, of course, had been, a World War II correspondent, had been not only the...
Okay, but what is your... I know we're speaking with Idaho Bob.
My point is this, what this man said, you don't need penetration by our alphabet letters of government. I mean, you have political, you have the journalism schools, you have so much of academia penetrated by the socialist ilk. I think you will find that it's not accidental. It's been accomplished. In fact, the very notion of a so-called liberal education goes toward the idea of socialism, and I think you'll find it penetrates both political parties. We used to have a separate socialist party. I think Norman Thomas, I think, was his name. I'm not sure because things get away from me. But there's cobwebs up there too, I'm sure. But essentially, our economics is held together by people that think this way.
Yeah.
The United Nations was founded by socialists.
Right, of course.
The whole idea of the government penetrating it, hey, in many instances, I think you'll find, General Donovan, who set up the CIA from the OSS, J. Edgar Hoover back there had a book, and he said the identification OSS was oh so subversive.
Yeah.
We're in a world that's sort of held together by faith, and we have to be very careful because, like the idea of a so-called Federal Reserve, it's sort of a house of cards, and it has the capability of falling apart faster than it was put together because everything might fall apart together.
Oh, I believe Biden was right. I agree with Biden on one thing. I think our republic is fragile. I just think that he's absolutely wrong when he recently said that the people I spoke with, it's always sources, too. It's kind of ridiculous. You know, when Biden spoke to a group out in California, he said, you know, that the folks out there, basically like sources, you know, the folks out there, were questioning the stability of the republic. And all of a sudden, he's worried that, you know, taxing people less and deregulating, taking, you know, government control out of the lives of American citizens and giving them all the rights that they're entitled to are problems for the republic. And I think it's just the opposite. I think it's when you have bigger government and increased centralized authority, you have fascism. And fascism, can go a long way in destabilizing the republic. So, Biden, for Biden to worry about the republic.
Land of fruit and nuts, I think you'll find that who you normally think of fascists would be Mussolini and Adolf Hitler. I mean, Hitler, Nazi and all socialistisch, national socialism. I think you'll find that Mussolini also had communist roots.
Well, that was what was so concerning about Marine Le Pen in the French election, was they tried to equate her with Donald Trump. And I said, no, you cannot equate. She is a populist, yes. Just like Hitler was a populist, yes. But, a nationalist socialist populist. So a nationalist socialist rather than a nationalist capitalist is completely different, you know, and a national populist. So, I mean, Trump was all about smaller government and giving power to the people. Hitler and probably even Le Pen, who was a socialist, would basically centralize government authority, but make it more nationalistic. And that's exactly what Hitler did. That's a scary proposition right there. Not to be compared by any stretch of the imagination with Donald Trump and what he brings to the table.
Well, I would say this about Donald Trump or any other president. I mean, if we support him when he's right, and if he's wrong, we try to educate him. And so far, I hope he's looking after his own wealth. By that, he'll be looking after the rest of us, we hope. But if he's wrong or when he's wrong, I think that such things as talk radio can open a window. And he seems to like populist input. And I think that what he's trying to do in the Far East, that is, show the flag. I mean, this is sort of gunboat diplomacy in a modern age, but I think this, if the People's Republic Red China wants to defuse the Korean situation, I think that that's great, because obviously it was a setup from the beginning, and both China and Russia, Russian technology and Chinese hardware, all right?
Yeah.
And who would we fire back on? North Korea? Hey, I think that somebody finally woke up on that situation, the fact that the North Koreans were set up to do the very thing they have done, and they were caught with their hands in the cookie jar, all right? And hopefully that good faith people can hold things together, and there's a lot of good faith people throughout the nations. And I think even Putin is, if he sees that he might be on the short end of a stick, which would be if the United States ever did a preemptive strike on them, I think he realizes that there is some good reason for stability in the world. And
absolutely. Well, Idaho Bob, we're gonna have to cut you short. We're running out of time, and I have a guest that's going to be on in a moment.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate getting on my soapbox.
All right. Take care now.
Have a good day.
All right. Bye-bye now. That's Idaho Bob. He's a regular call-in. He calls in quite a bit. I wanted to say one thing to our listeners about what's going on with Vladimir Putin that's kind of it's very concerning. Venezuela. Venezuela has, I don't know, about $138 billion worth of debt somewhere in that neighborhood. And guess who's going to relieve it? Guess who's going to pay for it? Guess who's going to buy it out? That's a cheap war, folks. You know, we spent more than that in the Middle East. You can actually buy out a country. And you buy out a country like Venezuela, you own that country. It's a puppet country. It's like Iran's Lebanon, right? I mean, or Syria's Lebanon. It's a scary proposition. And we need to be concerned about that and keep our eye on that ball, okay? Because we are trying to forge a really great relationship with Russia and China and the Asian countries in general. And that's what this trip was all about. And I think that there is a lot of progress made. But don't think for one second. These people, they have their own interests at heart. And there's no doubt that Russia has been wanting to enter our hemisphere in a big way. They did it, you know, they tried to do it with Cuba. And now they're doing it with Venezuela. And that is a very, very concerning thing. Keep your eye on that one. Meanwhile, we're going to be bringing Steve Pauls into the mix, into the Scott Adams Show. Steve Pauls is a regular and a host on Red State Talk Radio. He's the host of Stryker Radio, a great radio program on the weekends. Airs at 4 p.m. on the weekends and a few other, you know, other times on a rerun. And he also is one of the editors over at ClashDaily.com. And I just want to say welcome to the Scott Adams Show, Steve Pauls.
Good morning, Scott. Thanks for having me on.
Well, how's your week? What's been making your head spin these days?
I am deeply, deeply, deeply conflicted over, guess what, the Roy Moore thing. I thought I kind of had my mind made up until last night. much occupying my mind. I think for obvious reasons.
Well, you know what happened? Let me ask you something. Didn't the Democrats do this with Donald Trump? Wasn't there like seven women? It's like, well, not just one. That was four. No, there's not just four. There's seven. Who was one of the attorneys that came out shilling for one of the victims? Was it Gloria Allred? Now, what happened after Trump got elected, after the election was over? What happened to those cases? Did they pursue them still, or did they quash them?
Well, a couple of them, I think, have been in the news a little bit, but certainly not like before the election. It seemed like a lot of them went away once he got into office. Yeah, the whole thing is. I'm just genuinely terribly conflicted. My biggest problem, Scott, is as a matter of principle, I am really turned off by any action that presents something like this at the last minute when you don't have time to really
adjudicate it, litigate it.
Well,
it's unfair. It's an unfair situation for both sides, really.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes circumstances, I guess, don't allow you to be as fair as you'd like. But I obviously don't like that. I think we've talked about this in the past. I am very, very much of the opinion that our elected officials should be men or women of sound character, of at least sort of basic general decency. I'm not one of these people who says, well, as long as they're, you know, effective or efficient in promoting my views, my policy preferences, I guess I should say, I'll vote for them even if I don't care for the way they are as a person. I don't ascribe to that at all. So you know, stuff like this is very troubling to me. I would have no trouble saying, you know, somebody might be a very effective politician and even a conservative in many ways, but they're a rotten person, so I won't vote for them. I have no conflict with that. I would tend to go that way. But again, there is the question of truth, and although I find a lot of the charges against Moore to be very plausible, I have to say, having listened again last night to Sean Hannity's interview with him from, what was it, Friday, I think, I thought Moore's answers were not good. I tell you, if somebody accused me of, you know, molesting a 14-year-old, I would be coming through the phone. Just a second, my dog's barking. Sorry. I'd be coming through the phone. I would be pounding the table, indignant, and he wasn't. It was his answers, I thought, were kind of evasive, and they just sounded not. Somebody said it last night, again, on Hannity's show, and it might have been, was it Judge Jeanine? I was surprised by whoever it was, said, you know, the passion in his answers didn't match up to the seriousness of the charges. And I did notice that. And then this new gal that came out yesterday.
With Gloria Allred.
You know, paper, the she had a copy of a supposedly a thing he'd written in her yearbook, I don't know, 40 years ago. So, but then you go to the 40 years ago part. The thing is just really a mess to me. I'm really conflicted. If I was in Alabama right now, I'm glad I'm not. I'm not sure what I would do. This is the big thing that's held me up. I am extremely uncomfortable again with yielding to a pattern in which a month before an election, 2 weeks before an election, the other side, so to speak, can just present charges which seem like they could be true, and then we're supposed to throw up our hands and say, okay, we can't vote for that guy.
No, here's the problem I have, Steve, also, is the track record of the Democrat Party. I mean, we saw how much money they spent on Oppo research with Fusion GPS. We know that the Russian collusion story is mostly fake by Christopher Steele. It's very unsubstantiated. There's a lot of questions surrounding it. They used it as a tool or a weapon to not only wiretap, but to unmask and to leak and to do all of these vile things. They're now investigating. They're thinking about investigating James Comey for what he did. Basically, Chuck Grassley said, you know, what we're investigating is not the Clintons or the Trumps. What we're investigating is the politicization of the FBI and the Department of Justice. Because when you have a Department of Justice attorney general meeting with Bill Clinton on a tarmac, or you have James Comey lying and suggesting and leaking documents, government documents, so that there would be a special counsel, that's manipulating and rigging the system in a department that's supposed to be apolitical, like the FBI or the Department of Justice, Lady Justice. And so when you look at the Democrat Party, they've done this playbook so many times. It's like the boy who cried wolf, in my opinion. It's like, we cannot, you know, this is an election. And instead of running on the issues and talking about, you know, tax reform and repealing Obamacare and strengthening our borders and doing the right thing by, you know, lowering taxes and deregulating. No, they don't want to talk about these issues. What they want to talk about are, you know, they want to talk about sexual harassment, not to mention the fact that they are no longer talking about Kevin Spacey or Harvey Weinstein. They're talking about Judge Roy Moore. It's exactly what they want purposes.
Once again, we're faced with the unpalatable reality that charges, which, you know, might be true, could very plausibly be true. In my view, by the day, it becomes more likely that they're true. Although, again, I'm not settled on this.
Even if they're true, the guy has to have his day in court. I say, take this to court. Don't bring out Gloria Allred and make this a public affair.
You take it to court, but the problem is that, you know, the statute of limitation, there can't be any really legal repercussions because it's so old, which again is part of the problem.
Well, no, but see, then basically he's innocent. See, I mean, you got to go with ones and zeros here. You can't just go with she said and side with one person because you like them more than another.
When it comes to electing officials, you know, the voters are not obligated to only look at what's legal. You know, we can look at character, we can look at a person's reputation. If somebody's done, you know, I let's take the extreme example in my book would be O.J. O.J. legally has never been convicted of something he clearly did. He murdered Ron Goldman and his ex-wife. I mean, there's no doubt about that. However, legally...
Yeah.
Legally, he's innocent, but morally, he's guilty. I would never, you know, if the NFL hired him to be a commentator, along with everything else they've been doing wrong lately, I would object. So,
hey. Go ahead, and then I'm going to take a caller in a second.
Okay, you know the old saying: just because I'm paranoid doesn't mean they're not after me. Well, that's kind of my view in general on this kind of stuff. Just because the Democrats,
I get it. Look, I'm not the biggest Roy Moore fan, but the problem is, you know what I like? You know what I like even less than Roy Moore? I don't like the tactics that the Democrats have been known to use in the past. We've seen this playbook, and we see how it ends.
Yeah.
It disappears directly and immediately after the election. And why would I want to be a victim of that? We're going to take a caller. Caller, you're on the air.
Hey, Scott, it's Rodney. How you doing, buddy?
Hey, Rodney. Okay. Rodney Neve from West Virginia is calling in. What would you like to talk about, Rodney? We have Steve Paul as our guest on the line as well.
Yes, I sent you a PM yesterday. Innocent till proven guilty, just like you said. And the Democrats, they're used to playing this game 30 days before election. You know, people want to tell their story, what happened when they're 14. I do not know if he's innocent. I do not know if he's guilty. Thou shalt not place false witness against thy neighbor. like McConnell did last night. Well, I believe the women. Well, it doesn't matter what you believe. It's,
well, Ted Cruz as matter. Well, though. Ted Cruz. Ted Cruz, Judge Napolitano. I mean, there's a lot of Republicans now that are really bailing on this Roy Moore situation. You have a question for our guest, Steve Pauls?
Did Napolitano come out and say he believed him?
No.
I don't know.
Okay. So
he
I should correct that.
Maybe he did. I didn't hear that. But.
Napolitano said that he no, hang on, Rodney. Napolitano said that there was some credible testimony from a situation in a mall where the guy was hanging out at a mall and, you know, kind of like cruising chicks back when he was in his 30s. And that the mall was basically saying, look, dude, you got to leave. And, you know, that's pretty creepy there. That being said, you know, the problem I have is I have the problem with the Democrats. They have a bad track record. They've pulled this stuff before. And right now they're yelling fire and I'm a fire truck. And I'm saying, you know what? I'm not going to waste my gas.
You know,
All Red's presence doesn't help because she's a moralistic ambulance chaser, no doubt.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, the whole party doesn't help. There are a bunch of hypocritical phonies who, you know, listen, forever and ever, amen. Bill Clinton needs to be viewed differently by the Democrats after this thing with Roy Moore, because there's no doubt about the things he was accused of, and which some of which he admitted to, some of which we know happened that he hasn't admitted to. So they, you know, things need to change for them. Of course they won't, because they're absolute hypocrites. So that's, I agree with you, Scott. That's part of the problem. Again, as the charges keep coming out and the people keep coming forward, however, you know, I would say last night I was 70%. If I was in Alabama, I was 70% sure I would have voted for Roy Moore. After what happened yesterday, it's probably more or less flipped on me. If I was down in Alabama, I would be inclined to say, I just can't pretend that these charges aren't almost certainly true.
Okay, but at the end of the day, at the end of the day, this guy is, the accusations are 30, 40 years old. He may have had a come to Jesus moment since then. I don't know.
But you know what he needs to say? I tell you, honestly, if he said, look, I was 33 years old, I was a single guy, and I was a jerk. You know, I'm personally not knocked out of my chair that he was a 33-year-old guy who dated, you know, 16, yeah, that's pretty weird, but 18, 19-year-old girls. Is it a little strange? Yeah. One of my best buddies in the whole world was 28 when he married his wife, who was 17, and he's one of the most decent Christian men I know, period. So I don't have a huge problem with a 10-year age difference. But the some of the other stuff, I agree with you, it was creepy. If he came out and said, 40 years ago, I was not a Christian, and I did some things, that the kind of stuff that a lot of guys do that were unwise and foolish, and some of them were just plain wrong, but I've changed since, that would change everything for me. I mean, what I'm saying is I'm undecided now, but that would go a long way, because people do change. And 40 years ago, man, it's a long time. The fact that he's saying these things never happened, and it's becoming, Scott, it's becoming, you know, more and more difficult to literally believe this stuff is all complete. I think he said he doesn't even remember the restaurant supposedly that he would sit at every night. And
well, there, in some cases, he never met the person, and he's never been at the location. In some cases, he said it didn't go like that. It wasn't like that way. So there's a whole there's a whole array of things in terms of up and down the range, and they're hitting him from all angles. And of course, they want him to get down on his knees and say that he's not as good of a man as he tried to portray himself to be. And so therefore, don't vote for me, vote for the Democrat. I mean, that's exactly what the Democrats want to do.
If that's true, if that were the explanation, and I'm not saying it is, but if that were the explanation, then that's what he needs to do. If these things, let's say these things are true, that's the only way to go. That's even salvageable.
Perhaps. So that would probably be a good PR move, is saying, you know what, look, This has become very political. Yeah, when I was in my 30s, I did some things, but I didn't do what they're saying I did, and this would have to be litigated. And right now, if you feel like, you know, I'm at the end of the day, though, see, we want a senator that's going to actually vote for lower taxes, vote to repeal Obamacare, and, you know, vote for stronger borders, vote away sanctuary cities, support deregulation, right, and help cultivate better trade agreements and bilateral trade around the world, and help create jobs in our country. I mean, those are really they're really important issues. And I think they're almost more important than...
For me, they don't discount character.
Okay, but please understand, that none of these allegations involve sex with a minor.
The 14-year-old thing does.
Was it full intercourse? Because that's not what I heard.
Well, no, but that... I mean, if you... I have three sons. I don't have a daughter. If I had a 14-year-old daughter, however... and a 33-year-old guy, he took her clothes off, and except for her bra and panties, took all his clothes off except for his underwear.
Okay.
Basically, they played with that's not intercourse, okay. But it's bad enough. Yeah. Now, again, Scott, having said that, listen, I I'm with you as far as, you know, has it been absolutely proven? No. But it's becoming more and more plausible to me. And so, as I said, as we started, I am tremendously torn by this.
Let's get Rodney in. Let's get Rodney in for a quick second. Rodney, you have any last things you want to mention?
Well, they asked a lot of the supporters that supported him in the beginning, and even people that were on the fence before they even heard about these sexual allegations. They said, you know, my mind's made up already because they're playing that same crap, the Democrats, out of the same playbook.
All right.
It's pissed off a lot of people.
And you know, if in fact the voters disregard the charges because of that, Rodney, the Democrats they deserve it.
If he's guilty, I mean, I'm a Christian. If he's guilty, he could have had to come to Jesus moment, but... if he's guilty, then him and God know that. And just like these women that are coming forward, if this did happen to them, that's between them and God.
Well, God,
as far as what the Democrats have pulled, I can't trust anything the Democrats do. They kill people. They do everything else.
Hey, Rodney, we're going to have to cut. We're going to have to cut the... We're going to have to, I got a couple of things that are coming up. So I want to thank you for calling in. But, I got to continue on with my guests, and then we got a break coming up. All right?
Just leave it in God. They already said, the Republicans already said, we'll just get them out of office anyhow. So they're scared of them for some reason.
All right.
That's a whole other problem, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, Rodney, thank you for calling in today. Okay, that's Rodney Neve. Rodney is a good friend of the program. Rodney is from West Virginia. He calls in from time to time. He sends me private messages, and he's a world of knowledge, Rodney Neve. Steve, it is troubling. It's a very, very perplexing situation that now the voters have to deal with. And it seems like, though, this always seems to come up with the Glory Allreds, who happens to be a radical liberal, and it always seems to be something that's perpetrated and pushed out there by the left. Why is that?
No, you're right. Why? Because they're unscrupulous. Saul Alinsky.
But it must be effective. It must work. You know, I don't know that the Republicans do this.
I hope they don't. I hope I don't want conservatism to ever go down that path. I don't want our side to ever have an attitude which says, win at any cost. And that's becoming the mantra of too many on our side. If that's what we have to do to be effective politically, I am out.
Well, the left does not want to talk about the issues. Because in Alabama, conservative issues and policies, that Democrat candidate is going to lose big. Because if they start up there and say, we want to raise your taxes, we think Obamacare should be the health care of the land of our country, we think we should regulate you more, and you know, we think that sanctuary cities are a really good thing, right? Alabama's going to throw that senator out on their keister. What are they thinking? I don't even know how this could be a close race. Except for the fact that now you've got the Democrats doing their Hail Mary.
Liberals are like a fungus. They're everywhere, even where you can't. I can't imagine how you could be a liberal in Texas or Alabama. But I know people from both states, especially Texas, and they say Austin's one of the most liberal cities in the nation. So they're everywhere, Scott, unfortunately. And I tell you what, if nothing else, this needs to be a wake-up call that we need to nominate and put forward candidates who are right on the issues and who are reputationally and behaviorally solid people. And again, there was no reason to think Roy Moore was anything other than that, and maybe he hasn't been. Again, that's my problem.
Mm-hmm.
But we must say we need not just people who are right, we need people who are good in office. And then, as happened when they tried to attack Sean Hannity after the Bill O'Reilly thing, Hannity said, these charges are false. I'm a good husband and a family man, and I will sue you. And guess what? You talk about going away, the charges evaporate.
Yeah, right. Well, that's what Trump did. Trump said, I'm going to sue every last one of you, and they stopped. Now, I have one more question before we let you go, because we're only 2 minutes left anyway. And that is that... I would imagine you saw Hannity last night talking about the Keurig situation and Media Matters and Keurig. And he spent half of his show dealing with a sponsor. Now, I remember Keurig sponsored the whole stage on Fox and Friends music series. And it was one of those situations where, you know, Keurig is deeply invested in Fox News right now. And to mess that deal up is a big problem. And I think that Hannity was forced to do that or lose his job is what my takeaway from what happened last night. I thought it was a little weird that he was covering for them
so
much.
Sean has had a weird view on boycotts forever. I mean, he said forever, I'm against boycotting advertisers. And I understand the point. It certainly can go overboard. But I don't agree with that. I think one way you make your views known is you don't watch certain shows and you don't support those who support certain shows. And people say, boy, it gets awful messy then. And I understand, as we found out with Roy Moore, life's messy. But I don't agree with – and so that could be some of the explanation, Scott. Again, for years now, he's said, I don't agree with boycotts. I don't support boycott advertising. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's the way to go. And – you know, I part ways with him on that. So it could be just that, or maybe it's something a little bit more, you know, under the radar, as you're saying.
I think Keurig was deeply invested in a lot of different ways with Fox News, and they got really messy and very political. Yeah. And right now, what's going on social media where people are videoing them blowing up their Keurigs and stuff, it's amazing. But hey, we're out of time. Yeah. We're speaking with Steve Pauls, comes to us from Clash Daily, is one of the editors over there. Also, Steve has a show called Striker Radio on Red State Talk Radio. So stay tuned for all of that. And Steve, once again, thank you for coming on Tuesdays like you have been, and we really appreciate it.
Scott, it's a privilege. I encourage all the listeners, let's pray for Alabama and that situation and for our nation. That's what we need more than anything. So,
thank you. Thank you. Amen.
Have a good one.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye now. And that's Steve Pauls, and this is the Scott Adams Show. We are live, and we're coming out of time once again. The hour goes so quick. We'll see you next time on the radio. Paul Preston's coming up next, live on Red State Talk Radio. Stay tuned for Paul Preston and Agenda 21 Radio.
small town in Tennessee, a long way from the suits in D.C., but close enough now to see this mess. Where I stand, the mound's getting steeper. They grab a shovel, dig a hole a little deeper, just to bury my kids right up to their necks.